Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Once again, we're happy to join you, and we hope to give you some up-to-the-minute information today on tax legislation and on assorted real estate and retirement plan impact with regard to the new legislation. And like most pieces of law that come to life, there's a settling period as the debate continues in Congress. And boy, has this been a week of debate for those of you that may have been paying attention. And I guess the one thing that I would say characterizes the whole week, at least in my estimation, is boy, there's blood in the water when it comes to the Democratic side of the aisle. And I think Speaker Pelosi is the source of that blood. And I tell you, it seems like some of the progressives realize that, you know, Joe Biden's vision, as Pelosi keeps referring to it, may not much matter if there's a chance to grab power in the House. And for those of you that have been following the goings on, there was going to be a vote on Monday, supposedly, for the reconciliation bill. And just briefly, there's two bills tracking. One's referred to as infrastructure, which is about a $1.5 trillion price tag. Would that it was only 1.5 million, but it is trillion, which is a lot of money. And then there's also a second bill we refer to as the budget reconciliation bill, and it's got some prettier names. I notice now they're referring to it as family. I've forgotten the three buzzwords, but they're doing their best to put a happy face on it without saying that it's really, if you look at the hard costs, I think the Wall Street Journal had an article late last week or early this week. Yes, it's portrayed as only three and a half trillion, and it's paid for. That's the beauty, according to Biden, it's paid for. And what Biden seems delusional about at some level is that he's saying it doesn't cost anything. Oh, isn't that remarkable? $3.5 trillion, which according to the Wall Street Journal is really closer to $7.5 trillion. Think about this, $7.5 trillion coming out of our collective pockets, whether it's from the federal tax law changes, the states that are going to be required to pick up multiple heavy lifts throughout the 10-year period that these rules will apply. It's $7.5 trillion on top, excuse me, of the $1.5 trillion. It's a lot of money. And as Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, keeps trying to point out, we don't have it, nor do we know what might be lurking around the corner. A bad turn in the pandemic again could happen. Our economy, I mean, my gosh, the inflationary factor, which, you know, 2 months ago, the head of the Fed, Jerome Powell, was saying he didn't see inflation as being a major issue, which is all, well, it is, it's laughable. And now he's saying, you know what, we're really not sure. Well, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that if you stack another, I don't know, even $3.5 trillion on top of the 1.5, and then you look at the true cost, we're talking about inflation for as long as the eye can see. And the only thing that they may not know is how many years that is, but it's a long time we're going to be dealing with higher prices. Every major business and every major industry, including Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett, the company Warren Buffett runs, I heard him interviewed on inflation. He said they've raised their prices across all business lines because that's what everybody else is doing to them, all their suppliers. So, you know, the inflation factor is a tax, whether we think about it as a tax or not. Oh, it's a tax, and everybody pays it. It's not just meant for the wealthy, and I guess that's the, if you want to say there's a beautiful thing about inflation, well, that's what it is. It's a equal opportunity offender, I guess you might say. But in any event, we'll get to some of that. I guess I got a little carried away, a little excited, and started thinking about what was going on in Washington. And I have to say, it is absolutely spectacular what's going on in the House of Representatives to see, you know, Nancy Pelosi finally hanging by a thread to the power grab that she's consistently been able to maintain. And you may like her or love her, she is in control, at least for now. And it's going to be real interesting to see what happens this upcoming week. As I said a week ago, and I'm a little bit surprised, not shocked, but a little bit surprised that she wasn't able to corral all the cats here this current week. We're into the current week here. Because she's pretty good at doing that. And if you'll recall, there was a similar outlook back when Obamacare was being bannered about, and she was able to capture the troops and push to the finish line in spite of it costing some of her cohorts in the Congress some of their jobs. And that's what's going to happen here. And I guess some of the progressives and some of the centrists, I would call them, aren't quite willing to cut the power cord to their ongoing, I think they call it service to our country. I think those of us that watch the books that ensue and the speaking tours that ensue would probably question just how much service it is versus padding the nest, I guess you might say, for their later years. It's amazing the amount of money that being elected to Congress, the Senate, being a cabinet member, being even something as low on the totem pole as an ambassador, boy, those are paychecks for life one way or the other. And don't lose sight of that as you're watching this process. There's a lot of lobbyists behind the left and right turns as these bills get pitched to and fro. And if you don't believe that, take a look at some of the provisions that survived on the tax, the PAYFER side, where things are getting paid for, and look at whose ox is getting gored. If you ever want to understand who's really controlling the text, look at whose ox is getting gored throughout the whole process. Anyway, let me just say real quick, we've got a break coming up here momentarily, but we don't become your CPA or tax advisor because you're listening. We do think that our discussion is relevant, it's current. We do our best to ensure that. On the other hand, run your proposed strategies by your own advisors before you take any action. Okay, we'll come right back in a few minutes and pick up where we left off here on the legislation.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BePlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BePlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Start your mornings with the Chris Salcedo Show.
I used to live down the dial a couple of notches during this time period in the morning, but I think I found a new home. And it's why I'm going to tune in. You gave them some very tough questions, you know, some of the toughest questions that I've heard an interviewer give a seasoned politician like that. And just like all seasoned politicians, before they answer the question, they run interference.
The Chris Salcedo Show, 7 to 9 a.m. on AM 700 KSEV.
Candidates for Texas governor sound off on the illegal alien invasion.
There are millions of Texans who are willing to go to that border and make a stand and say, you will not pass this human wall.
This is an invasion. I just pray there's enough of Texas left when I get there in the spring of 23 to stop it.
The next Texas governor, vital to the survival of Texas and the United States. Making sure you know where the candidates stand on the Chris Salcedo Show. See you at 7 after Lance on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. It's the week of October 2nd there in the U.S. And we were just talking about the proposed legislation, the two different bills that weren't going to be tied together, by the way. Biden had promised to get the bipartisan support. And then, of course, I don't know, at least 10 minutes later after he got the signatures and the commitments from the GOP to join with the Democrats, he started talking about making sure both bills had been passed to put on his desk for signature, which was a major breach. And the Republicans are quick to point that out as they now express their reticence to stay on board. And, you know, I was just looking at there was a article in one of the publications I read, and I've seen a similar article in the Wall Street Journal here yesterday, I believe, or maybe it was the day before, talking about how that, you know, Biden, you know, President Biden's Build Back Better Act, oh, it sounds so delightful, you know, Build Back Better, and it's paid for, no cost, it's paid for, you know, to the U.S. taxpayer, most of them, not the ones that are paying, let's see, the top 1%, I think pay 40% of the total taxes. I think individuals other than the top 1% pay another 20 some odd percent. And then finally, you've got the corporate taxes. But, you know, who cares about the ones that, you know, the taxpayers that are actually paying for it? You know, that's not who controls or swings the votes for next year's elections. But anyway, now this article came out within the last week, I believe, the prospects for specific tax changes in the president's Build Back Better Act appear murky right now. Boy, is that an understatement. But there should be more clarity later this week about what, if anything, gets passed by a very closely divided Congress. So nothing got passed. The Democrats had originally set a September 27th deadline for voting on both the trillion-dollar bipartisan infrastructure bill that the Senate passed in August, as well as the larger $3.5 trillion and spending bill that the Republicans firmly oppose, which I'm not sure why the Republicans seem to always be handicapped with their mental thought processes. If they couldn't see this coming, you really got to question, how in the world do some of these folks get elected every 6 years? To think that they might get away with just spending $1 trillion if they just go along on some infrastructure items that none of the already mentioned and discussed and plotted $3.5 trillion was somehow going to magically disappear. So in any event, they gave up that playing card, but to their credit, they realize they've got a little thing called the debt ceiling coming up for renewal, to where I guess they could put their foot down and discipline these liberals and progressives on this additional huge power grab that comes with spending $3.5 trillion. But in any event, the problem that Biden has is the Democrats don't agree with each other, and it never ceases to amaze me. I've seen this. I've been practicing now for 36 years, and I remember back the Tax Reform Act of 1986 is when I first noticed that the best position for a president to be in is a divided Congress. It is not where they've got a majority in each House of Congress, because as in the case of the Senate, you've got 50 Democratic senators, and effectively each one of those senators is the vote that matters. So they've all got their own little power, their little turf, their little fiefdoms that they can throw a wrinkle in anything. And that's his own party. That's, you know, President Biden's own party. Forget the Republicans. They can just as soon sit on the sideline and watch the goings on, and hopefully they stay out of it, because as we've noticed, when we tend to get involved in the other side's business, all of a sudden they band together and push things through. And of course, the Democrats are much better at that historically than the Republicans are. But in any event, again, I'll get off the topic of uncertainty, but this tax bill that we got the draft text on, it was mid-September, it is anything but done, and we are hoping that some of the it will absolutely be reduced, it appears. It won't be anywhere near $3.5 trillion. They're saying $1.5 trillion now is going to be the max. Let's hope that does away with some of the insanity that comes with some of the tax rules that have taken place. And I'll just give you a real brief overview of some of the key provisions on the 2021 tax reform legislation, which is part and parcel of this spending, is that there'll be certain areas of the code that have been widely used, like, and these won't affect a lot of my clients, thankfully, but conservation easements, which are hugely challenged by the IRS, those won't be challenged anymore because they're going away. You literally won't be able to do it. The things that are coming into play regarding, for the most part, the social safety net, these are things, by the way, that you deserve. And how do I know this? Because the progressives are real good at telling us that everybody deserves help with paying for raising their children, dependent care, education. You deserve free education right up through college. You deserve assorted child care related credits. Child care workers would get a credit, or I guess the organizations that employ them. Caregiver expenses. It's amazing what now if you think back to the Obama years, where a lot of Americans didn't really agree that health care was one of our God-given rights of being born, within the boundaries of the United States. And I can't necessarily say that that's not a good thing, although anytime the government is the source, it's never a good thing. As Ronald Reagan used to say, the famous expression that, the scariest words in America were, we're from the government and we're here to help. Okay. And that's still pretty much the case, by the way. But, in any event, if you look at how government has run, the Obamacare program, and personally, I've seen it firsthand. I've got my own, health insurance, which I was pleased that Obamacare cut my premiums in half. It's just now they're back up over where they were, because it's not necessarily the fact that you have health care and I have health care. It's the fact that the cost of health care rises geometrically, it seems like, over year on year. And it's crazy, the cost of health care. And of course, it's a third party pay system, which, if you took any marketing classes back in college, you were aware of the quadrant that is used to describe who your best target customer is. And of course, your best target customer is the quadrant where you're not paying for the service. It's being delivered to you, but you're not paying for it. Someone else is, at least ostensibly, i.e. the third-party insurance company. And so the costs don't really matter to you. You're not really tuned to looking for the best deal. You don't scope things out as to other options, etc. And so, you know, it's a dream for the insurance companies. But bottom line is, it was a government program. It's been executed just as poorly as many before it. And it's always interesting to look at the cost of anything, whether it's Amtrak, whether it's the post office, et cetera. And, you know, we're never surprised anymore with the continual increases. Okay, so enough on the proposed legislation. I want to talk a little bit about the real estate private partnership syndication market. You know, that's the area that so many of our clients are investing in, and it's really, really become commonplace over the last few years. And I saw an article about some recent statistics that I thought would really explain why this is something that most people, I think, that want an option to the stock market, the public option, obviously, you know, you want options besides investing in things that you don't control. You don't know who's running it. You have no insights at all. And of course, the people that really make money in the public market are the guys and gals running the companies, because they can work their way to millions and millions of options on an annual basis. And of course, the boards of those companies are filled by other leaders of public companies who, you know, reciprocate on compensation arrangements. I remember when Stephen Jobs sat on the Oracle board, and of course, Larry Ellison, Jobs was the head of Apple, for those of you that may recall, and Larry Ellison was the head of Oracle. And boy, every annual shareholder meeting, you know, someone would announce that, you know, Larry Ellison deserved so many bazillion options, and they would approve it. Of course, the board would unanimously approve it. And then it wouldn't be 3 months later, Ellison would be in the annual board meeting of Apple. And lo and behold, Steve Jobs deserved even more. It was a constant one-up. And it's just, those are the folks that win in the public market. It's not the little guy, unless you just really, really are lucky, is the way I look at it. You have no insights that really matter. And, you know, it takes real professionals that play in the game every day to try to eke out a profit. And even then, you get situations where the movement is so fast, you didn't have a chance to react. But anyway, the real estate crowdfunding market is the asset space where a sponsor has identified, in many cases, we work with multifamily projects. So someone that works in the area of finding, locating, and acquiring, and usually in most cases operating apartment buildings, will make a investment available. We call it a syndication for private money. Folks like our clients that want to invest $50,000 to $100,000, as the case may be. And now, thanks to some pretty liberalized rules with the SEC, they're able to allow folks that may not be professional investors, but they know enough about real estate. They've joined one of the local platforms that is available for investors to learn more and then proceed with investing. But anyway, it's kind of a secret world because there's not a lot of public reporting on it. And unless you're buying a rental property, most investors need or needed some kind of friends, social club to understand how to break in, kind of a classic country club cliche. But in any event, I want to just tell you, well, let's see, I hear the music starting for the break. This will be a good point to take a break and come back. So give me or give us a few minutes. If you'd like to ask a question today, feel free to call in to the show, 281-558-5738, or you can shoot me a text at 713-782-1900. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
With Houston Methodist Virtual Urgent Care, you can skip the drive and the waiting room and connect to our board-certified providers from your computer, tablet, or mobile phone. Virtual urgent care visits are available 24/7, no appointment needed, even on weekends and holidays. Now you can get the same trusted care you expect from Houston Methodist, wherever you are, whenever you need us.
To learn more, visit HoustonMethodist.org. Houston Methodist, leading medicine.
Okay, so Sarah, I'm dropping you off at Emily's?
Yep.
And Josh, you're going to?
Soccer, Dad. Soccer practice.
Right. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know when I pick you both up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, and my dorky dad hat, and I'm gonna do my dad dance for all your friends. They'll love it!
Seriously? Why?
Because I like my short shorts. Of course, I could be talked out of it if you guys would just buckle up your seatbelts without giving me a hard time.
It's important to get your kids to buckle up for safety, no matter what it takes. And sometimes, all it takes is your parental powers of persuasion.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Good choice. I'll just have to do my dad dance at dinner time.
What?
No!
Do what you have to make sure your kids are wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
We want people of honor and integrity representing us in Congress. We want people that have to live by the same rules we do.
And uphold the Constitution. That's what I want.
I have a new grandchild, and I want her to have the same America as I had growing up.
As a veteran, I am sick and tired of somebody apologizing for what we've done in our country.
An independent voice for conservative opinions. AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, and we were discussing the real estate private partnership syndication asset class before we took a break, and otherwise known as crowdfunding, the SEC crowdfunding rules from the Obama administration have continued to be liberalized to where they've become a major source of capital for small business, and especially the niche that we work in, which is multifamily apartment buildings predominantly. We've got some investors that invest in public storage facilities or self-storage facilities and commercial buildings. But bottom line is they seek to control their money. They want above average rates of return, typically higher than they consistently can generate with Wall Street. The valuations don't swing as dramatically up and down. There's a number of other issues related to private company valuation that works really amazing to your favor when it comes to doing things like Roth conversions. You know, the predominant strategy we deploy is the 401 trust, otherwise known as a solo K, and the way that you calculate the amount that's taxable yields a much lower value if your money is invested in private company assets versus publicly traded, easily marketed assets. And so there's a strategy there that can save you a lot of money to get over into the Roth world, which is where many people are moving. And, you know, to a certain extent, the draft text of the legislation that I was just discussing will change some of that, but in large measure, the 401 trust is still unaffected. The IRA more so, although there's still the ability to execute similar strategies with the IRA. It just costs you a lot more because the IRA pays an extra layer of tax on leveraged investments like an apartment building that the 401 is exempt from. So in that context, for those of you that are interested in trying to shield your income, you see what's coming. And by the way, the saddest thing about this proposed legislation, the thing that just galls me, that Congress doesn't understand how bad of a condition our country is in now with respect to the deficit. The acknowledged deficit is close to $30 trillion. The real deficit, which includes things that aren't portrayed on the nation's balance sheet, if you will, is closer to $130 to $150 trillion. And so whether or not we raise taxes, I mean, we need to raise taxes to pay down the deficit. I think a lot of Americans would probably understand that and agree that, okay, we don't like it. But you got to understand, our tax rates right now are at a historical low in years in my lifetime. They've never been lower. And so think about it in two contexts. One, the tax brackets are on sale right now. If you're going to contemplate a Roth conversion, there won't be a better time after today, meaning the current rates, to undertake that Roth conversion, if you can even do it. You know, the current proposed text of this, the new legislation, one of the changes, now, admittedly, it's, and I don't understand the logic. I mean, the Congress is punishing people that have achieved success in many ways, but with regard to the Roth conversion, they're going to put limits on people that make more than $400,000, I believe, is the current level, for you to be able to undertake a Roth conversion. But that doesn't start until, I believe it's 2032. So there's a 10-year window we have to continue to do that. However, at the same time, the bracket's going up if you're in the $400,000 and up category that you'll pay tax on. So you want to manage that process. We like to do Roth conversions over a five-year period or more so that we optimize the amount of tax we pay. But that's when we're dealing with tax rates that are really, again, historically low. And so anyway, what I was alluding to, though, if we were raising taxes to pay down the deficit instead of, quote, saving the world, which you and I both know it's anything but saving the world, and you look at all the social safety net issues that we're going to pay for, if there's, you know, 20% of that money that actually ends up in the hands of those that it's intended to help, I'd be shocked. It's a lot of activity, a lot of new government agencies, a lot of contractors. You just go down the list. There's a lot of money before any money that gets spent, before any money gets out to the purpose for which it was intended. But and in any event, whether or not Congress raises taxes to pay for the deficit, it will happen, and it's going to happen, mark it down, by 2029 to 2030, because if it doesn't, we're going to have a depression the likes of which we've never seen. It'll make 1929 look like a picnic, because the problem is our entire tax collection will not be enough money to pay the debt at the current rate that we're borrowing. And so if you feel like I do that, hey, let's get over into the tax-free world. There's assorted strategies we use. A lot of them involve other financial products. Some assorted insurance policies are incredibly helpful. They work even better than a Roth in some situations, in many situations, if you can be underwritten. And there's little, if any, limit to how much you can put in. And then you also get long-term health care and chronic illness riders being available to put on these policies, and so you're hitting on multiple cylinders, and at the same time you're able to generate income that it's not just not taxed, it doesn't even get reported. There's no 1099-R like there would be with even a Roth. So we like Roths. We think Roth is kind of the sweet spot for most people, including those that may have health issues now that can't get underwritten for some of the insurance tax shelters that exist. And by the way, I don't sell insurance. I'm not an agent. I'm a real estate and retirement tax strategist, and I understand the tax code has some amazing. You talk about a strong lobby. The insurance lobby is even better than the realtors in terms of keeping things available as these assorted tax acts come up over the years. And so, you know, I understand. You know, everybody likes to get the annuity that an insurance policy can provide, but nobody likes to pay for it. Well, you may start thinking differently as your taxes go up, because they must go up. It's only math. It's mathematical that they must go up. But in any event, back to the crowdfunding dollars, I was just going to tell you that private equity raises for commercial real estate in America in the year 2020, which is the latest some of these stats were provided. And this is not 100%. I'm sure these don't pick up some of the projects at our local level. These are probably in a market that I would call, it's not publicly traded, but they're certainly publicly managed, I guess you might say, with true syndication professionals. Anyway, 25% of all the private equity capital raises for commercial real estate in America were crowdfunded. $15 billion in 2020, up from, doubled basically, up from $7 billion in 2019. Thousands of investors have taken advantage of crowdfunding and the access to both information and opportunity it provides to add, and this is the key, institutional quality real estate to their portfolios. And again, we're not talking about the random one-off rental property that you might go out and pick up on your own, which those, by the way, could be valuable, but we're talking about buying a piece of a Class A, B, C apartment building. You know, there's different metrics for each one of those in terms of purchase price, yields, etc., but you know, we're talking about, you know, properties that have significant value in their income streams, and the lead partners or sponsors that are better at achieving that can return, you know, investment returns that far exceed what you'll be able to do with your index funds and mutual funds typically. You know, there's always exceptions, but I'll just suggest to you that if you're behind on saving for retirement, these are the kind of assets you'd like to put your money into. And if you've got some money already in a retirement plan, the odds are, if you live in the great state of Texas, because we've got some flexibilities here that other states don't have, but it's highly likely that we can help you access your company's 401 plan to get control of your money, where you can decide who, when, where, and how much to invest in, so that you can participate in this asset class at a very local level, where you know the person that's running the deal, you've met them at one of your investment club meetings, you walk the properties with them. It's not like you buying part of a REIT, a real estate investment trust on Wall Street that owns a Best Buy power center, where you don't ever meet, you don't go walk the property, you don't know anything about the other folks that are involved with you. This is a very different scenario, and it's one that has high value if executed correctly. But in any event, you know, our clients typically come to us after they've joined an investor platform, and we like that they're trying to educate and inform themselves. That said, in this day and time, there's a lot of syndicators out there that will deal directly with you as an investor if you have a certain level of understanding and you want to participate without joining some of the platforms. But we'll talk, speaking of the platforms, we'll talk a little bit about that topic when we come back. Again, if you got a question, 281-558-5738. KSEV, the voice of Texas. We'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com
or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
For many years, the Pine Box has been helping families gain insight into the often confusing and extremely expensive task of arranging a loved one's funeral. I have worked with Pine Box in the death of two family members because I know I can trust Chip Beresford at the Pine Box. He's the owner. To be sure that he walks me through that process and that I am prepared for the funeral and that I get the quality I seek without breaking the budget. Because it's a very difficult thing. No one wants to feel like a cheapskate handling a funeral of a loved one. But you also can't afford to go broke either. You know, funerals are statistically the third largest expense in someone's life. The Pine Box sells the same caskets and funeral merchandise that is offered at funeral homes, but at a tremendous savings, and delivery is immediate and free within the Houston area. Stop by one of the three Houston locations or visit their website, thepinebox.com, or call Chip directly at 1-888-PINE-BOX. That's 1-888-PINE-BOX. I trusted them, and you can. The Pine Box.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We've got the final segment coming up, and I've gotten a couple questions in. Before I go back to the investor platforms that I wanted to mention, got a question here. Let's see. Could a reverse mortgage, as you know, heavily advertised, in fact, there's a show that comes on, I think, a couple hours before this one on Saturday, Ray Massey, the reverse mortgage guy. But anyway, could a reverse mortgage be used to fund real estate investments? And the answer is absolutely. And I may be the only CPA in the world that will fully stipulate that, hey, for the right person or persons, I like the reverse mortgage. And I know it sounds hokey. You hear Tom Selleck and others on TV talking about how legit they are and we wouldn't be out to screw you or anything of that nature, which that's an absolute bald-faced lie. They would be, just like a lot of commercial enterprises. But if you craft the right terms, you can come out ahead. And the issue there is, you know, what capital do you have to invest with? Is it equity in your home that's available by you refinancing your home? Or is it equity in your home that you can tap by doing a reverse mortgage or the HECM, which is the home equity, I think it's conversion mortgage, the home equity conversion mortgage, the agencies, I can't remember if it's FHA or Freddie, whoever has a few rules in place. But bottom line, those are two untapped sources of capital that many people have, and it can be significant. And if you're, you know, your current outlook is you're going to live in your house until you pass away and then heirs or whoever is going to end up with it, why wouldn't you go ahead and use the funds that you can pull out of those that property, your home, to invest in cash flow generating real estate? It's the same reason as to why you would, if you're 35 years old, if you had a piece of real estate that was paid for, why you wouldn't refinance it, pull the money out, put it into real estate. And again, if you can generate 10 to 30% a year off of a real estate investment and pay a mortgage at, I don't know, 3, 3.5, 4% these days, why wouldn't you do that? That makes no sense to look at that as what we would call bad debt. No, that's good debt. Anytime you can borrow money and generate far more return than what it's costing you, we suggest that's something to consider, including the reverse mortgage. So point B, or I guess follow-up here, is could a qualified individual get the cash and still have a place to live without having to pay it back? Well, absolutely. That's part of the benefits of either the reverse mortgage or the HECM. There are some costs that you have to maintain. I've forgotten the specifics, but you can't just tear the place up. You got to maintain it. I think you would have to pay any sort of condo maintenance fees or homeowner associations, I think. Again, these are questions for somebody that deals in this area day in, day out. I've heard Ray Massey's show on Saturdays here on KSEV. It sounds like he knows
what he's doing, take all that with a grain of salt. You do your due diligence. Talk to your existing advisors and, you know, understand what you're signing up for. In all cases, whether it's a real estate private partnership syndication or other investments, what we do is we try to help our clients understand the math behind what they're signing up for. And to the extent they understand the math, they will decide whether or not to invest their hard-earned money, whether it's out of a money market account or whether it's out of their 401 trust that we help them implement, where they've rolled their money over from an existing employer plan. They're ultimately going to make the decision whether or not to invest in that specific asset. And you know, we watch our clients come to us where they know very little about how to analyze the investment documents that are part of that process, the private placement memorandums and company operating agreements, all which sound daunting and which are daunting for the new investor and even experienced investor. I mean, the games that get played this market are somewhat disconcerting at time, but hey, that's where you've got a friend. And Nathan Ross or MP Ross CPAs, it's all we do is this type of work. Personally, I've been involved in drafting over $500 million worth of operating agreements for partnerships and buying real estate. I know where the snakes are buried. And I would tell you that, you know, just because there's some snakes in a deal doesn't mean you don't invest in it. You got to understand how to exploit the transaction or the investor platform. The investor platform, I want to just mention, we got just a few minutes left. You know, Houston, Texas is like the hotbed of good options for folks that don't want to go it alone with regard to learning about real estate. And you've got two of the larger organizations here, and they're very different, even though they both originated from the same background, same parties were involved. You know, one of them left and started his own platform. That would be Steve Davis with Total Wealth Academy. The platform he left is one that takes a very controlled path to private real estate partnership syndications. They control who can participate. You have to be at a certain membership level, et cetera. And there's no deviation, which you might think that's a bad thing. And I would tell you, no, it's not a bad thing. It's a different thing. Whereas Steve's group, and by the way, the aforementioned platform only invest in apartments. That's it. Whereas Total Wealth Academy has RV parks, self-storage facility transactions, apartments. A lot of their members are doing single family, which all the platforms have members that usually start with single family. But these platforms, it's like I'm reminded of a United flight I was on way back when I first started going back and forth to Thailand, where the I started to say waitress, God forbid, the flight attendant, who was somebody I'd been on more than a few flights with, really funny gal, and she was describing the two choices we had that evening for dinner. And one was beef and one was chicken. And, of course, she described them a little more eloquently than I'm doing. But she ended it with a perfectly delivered line, which was each of the choices are well different, not delicious, different. And I think of that when I think about these real estate platforms. They all have merit to certain people, certain, you know, different personalities, different objectives in life. And what I would suggest to you is that most people are best served by joining a platform. Again, we like Steve Davis's Total Wealth Academy for a number of reasons. Steve will return a phone call. That's probably one of the biggest ones you'll find when you're starting out. That's pretty big. And I would tell you he excels at that. But in any event, we also realize some people don't have the funds or some people don't like groups, and I get that. And so I would tell you that if you work with someone like us, we can still get you to a point where you qualify to invest on your own, and at some point you may actually join the platform later because you'll realize what I'm saying, which are there good reasons to be part of a group of like-minded individuals. One other thing I want to just tell you real quick, some of the draft material that's in the proposed legislation is really going to hit some IRAs hard. Not that the IRA is a good vehicle to invest in private partnerships to begin with. As I mentioned earlier, the IRA actually pays a different round of tax, an additional round of tax, over and above what you're going to pay when you start taking your money out on the profits and gains that the IRA invests in if there's debt involved or leverage. So let's assume you've got a couple hundred thousand dollars in your IRA and you decide to put $50,000 into ABC apartment complex transaction. Well, the lead partner or syndicator, sponsor, comparable terms here, will undertake the debt. So that's great news. You don't have to sign. You've got no liability on a multi-million dollar mortgage because that lead partner has undertaken that. Unfortunately, if you're investing your IRA, the fact that it has that leverage becomes, the gains become taxable versus the 401 trust, which has a specific tax code exemption. And for those of you that want to go to sleep early tonight, pull out your copy of the Internal Revenue Code or look it up online. Cornell maintains the tax code provisions for free. And muddle your way through the Section 512 language over to Section 514, and you'll find that the unrelated debt financed income tax, otherwise known as UDFI, applies to taxation on gains generated by the IRA using leverage. And lo and behold, down in 514C9, I believe it's C9C2, it provides an exemption for the any qualified trust created pursuant to Section 401. That's a wonderful exemption, big enough to drive a apartment building through it in most cases. And so there are absolutely reasons to execute under the 401. Now, what if you've already got IRAs with investments in syndications with leverage? We can roll that money over into the 401 in most cases if you qualify. There's a set of criteria, and totally sidestep the tax that's looming for you, and at a higher rate, no doubt, as these rates go up. And so if you're in that position, connect with us and let me learn more about your facts and circumstances. Let's see if we can qualify you to be into a self-directed 401 trust. Hey, I've got one quick question. Let's try to address this before we leave. A listener said, does the tax code allow within a 401 trust to do real estate flips and wholesaling? And my answer to that is not if you call it that, but if you can work your investment strategy to include some purchases that you intend to hold, and lo and behold, you have a chance to sell them prematurely, you're doing one or two of these a year, then the odds are you'll be fine. But not if you're going to do a dozen. There's no way that the IRS will allow you to do that many without saying, hey, you must be a dealer. You wouldn't be transacting these homes so quickly. And before you tell me, well, you know, gee, I was in a seminar that said they're doing many flips per year with their self-directed IRA. I'm not saying people don't do it. The question is, are you allowed to? And the answer is nada. Anyway, I hear the music coming. That's the last of the show here. I enjoyed again this week. Always interesting to see where the show leads, and we hope you'll join us a week from now, same time.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.